So, our Bible reading this morning is quite controversial. Wives must accept the authority of their husband. During training, we were warned that curates would get given the jobs that nobody else wanted to do. And you would be forgiven for thinking that I'm even too reluctant to face you on Zoom to address this, let alone face to face, which is why I'm on video this morning. But no, that's not true. But it's worth looking carefully at this passage, as it's often been misunderstood, and when taken out of context, like other parts of the Bible, can do more harm than good. So let's pray. Father God, I pray that you will use my words this morning for good. I pray that you will speak to each one listening. Help us to hear your word for us today. And help us to understand more of your heart of love for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Wives must accept the authority of their husbands. Obviously, Peter was writing this letter to the first century followers of Jesus, who were living in a very different culture and society from ours. Some would say, the word of God stands forever. So if it was true then, it is true now. Others would say, this is outdated, from a misogynistic society, so it can be ignored. But actually, both of these viewpoints are too simplistic. We need to look a little deeper. This passage begins with the phrase, in the same way. In the same way as what? Peter is continuing his line of reasoning from the passage we looked at last week. Wives must accept the authority of their husbands in the same way as we dutifully respect human authorities even if we disagree with them. In the same way as slaves must accept the authority of their masters. This doesn't sound too hopeful for us wives, does it? Or does it mean to accept suffering in the same way as Jesus, rather than cause confrontation and argument which might lead to sin, and so to keep their consciences clear? That sounds a bit more hopeful for us wives, but still not a great advert for marriage. It's easy to see how this passage has caused so much upset. And the passage continues, then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. Now we are getting to Peter's heart in this matter. His heart is that all should come to Christ. That is what he's concerned about. That we don't live in a way that turns others from Christ, or puts a stumbling block in their way. The most important thing to Peter, to God, and to us if we're Christians, is that others, including our husbands, should come to Jesus. Whatever it takes, that is the goal. I was reading Lucy Pepiet's thoughts on this passage, and she pointed out the remarkable thing that people often miss is that Peter was actually even speaking to the women directly, and the slaves for that matter. Men dominated first century Greco-Roman culture. Women were seen as inferior, however higher than a slave. But the fact that Peter is even addressing the women, acknowledging they have a choice to submit, is radical. What we need to understand is that Greco-Roman society was built upon social codes in which the husband was in charge of the household. The smooth functioning of these household units upheld the stability of society. A religious group would be allowed to continue to meet if it complied with the rules for household management, and Christians within households were under close scrutiny. So those that converted to Christianity were encouraged to stick to these social codes, to live properly among their unbelieving neighbours, because this gave them a better opportunity to evangelise. And usually instructions would be given to a man, and he would pass it on to his wife. But Peter is directly encouraging the women to accept the authority of their husbands. Not because of cultural expectation, but because they choose to. He's given the wife autonomy. So at the same time, Peter is both upholding and subverting the social order. And of course, in verse 7, Peter goes on to speak to the Christian husbands, instructing them to honour their wives and understand their difficult situation. This too was countercultural. Peter is redefining the household relationships. He reminds the men that their wives, the women, are equal partners in God's gift of new life, equally saved and loved through the grace of God. So what was Peter's point? His heart was that people should come to Jesus, that the good news of Jesus should not be hindered by their attitudes and behaviours. Interestingly, despite the Roman authorities' best efforts to stamp it out, the main way that Christianity spread during the first 3 centuries was through women believers in pagan households. Girls born into pagan households were seen as a nuisance. And the practice was for second or subsequent girls to be thrown out, to die of starvation, or left to the mercy of those who would pick them up for slavery or prostitution. Christian and Jewish households did not do this, which meant there were many more women of marriageable age than pagan ones. So it was very common for a Christian woman to have an unbelieving husband. I can't imagine how hard it would have been to live as a Christian wife in a household where you were expected to worship the pagan family god. Perhaps if they accepted their husband's authority in other matters and had a gentle and quiet spirit, their refusal to worship the pagan gods would be overlooked. That's just my speculation. But that was then. And this is now. 21st century Britain. What does all this have to say to us? It's hard to comprehend that subordination of women has continued down the centuries, perhaps even fueled by misunderstandings of Bible passages such as this. For hundreds of years, women had less access to education and less social and political power than men. It's incredible to think that it was less than 100 years ago, in 1928, that women were first allowed to even vote in the UK. My parents were of the opinion that if I was planning to get married, there was no point going to university. And even now, today, many women are still subject to domestic abuse and coercive control. The lockdown has highlighted this, as it's been harder for women to escape. It's clear the Bible does not condone this, then or now. But the lockdown has had an impact on all family life. We have all had to spend a lot more time in each other's company, and this can be tough on marriages and family relationships. Many of us have husbands and wives that are not Christians. I met my husband when I was 17. I've been praying for him for 40 years. I'm sure some of you can relate to this. Maybe you have been praying for your husbands or wives, children or parents for a very long time. You get to the point when you run out of words. You run out of prayers. You begin to wonder if God is even listening, if he is even there. Then you realise and accept that all you can do is to trust God and to hold on. God wants everyone to be saved. Once we can leave them in God's hands, we find peace in the situation and we hold on. How does Peter suggest we hold on? Your godly lives will speak to them without any word. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. We hold on to God. We worship Him. We allow the Holy Spirit to transform us from within. We allow God's radiance to shine through. We model the servant heart of Jesus. We are tender-hearted and humble in attitude. We wait. We hold on. This is not a weakly submissive and potentially soul-destroying attitude of keep your head down, agree to everything and you'll have a quiet life. It is choosing to love. It's brave and strong, empowered by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not demand its own way. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love holds on. One last thing. If you feel God prompting you to share your faith with someone, maybe a work colleague, a neighbour, someone you often meet at the school gate but hardly know, someone who you think is the last person who wants to hear your story, please do it. Please be brave. You never know. Someone else might have been praying for them for 40 years, and you might just be the person God is calling to lead them to Jesus.